RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Time for the Wilms Report. Being a Tuesday morning, Tim Wilms beaming in from the unshackled.net, Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. Tim, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Paul. Even though we're past winter, we're in the middle of a week of Melbourne's four seasons in one day. It's been right. Sunny and then hail and lightning. I'm not sure what it's been like for you in Queenstown.
Cold. Had to prise open the car door yesterday morning because it was frozen shut. How about that?
Are you one of the suspects in the rainbow flag ransackers?
I know nothing.
I wondered if the New Zealand police would use it as an excuse to raid the new RCR studios.
Yeah, actually, you got me thinking now. One thing I did think of, and no one should burn other people's property, okay? So I don't agree with that. But the cost of the flags were $400 each. And I'm just wondering how you get to that on a flag.
In my studio, a woven Australian flag from Carolyn Richardson, which has lasted over 10 years, but it didn't cost $400, that's for sure.
Someone's on a grift, I suspect, and it's maximum retail plus, and I wonder how much goes in the back pocket. But the CCTV images are out of the alleged perpetrators, Tim. So all policing resources I'm expecting will be deployed to track them down. And what do they put them in the stocks in the main street or something like that? Probably.
Let's not get into that.
Let's get into this because we know Sal Grover well on this program. We've spoken to him half a dozen times. We knew that Tickle versus Giggle was coming down to the wire. Now we know the federal court decision, and it tells us what, Tim?
It tells us that Roxanne Tickle is a woman and that, we have to refer to her as such because the ruling federal court justice, Robert Bromwich, he ruled that Roxanne Tickle suffered indirect gender identity discrimination from being excluded from Sal Grover's Giggle for Girls app. And he ruled that sex is changeable. So that's the law in Australia. This was because the Sex Discrimination Act was changed by Australia's only female Prime Minister, Julie Gillard, in 2013.
A woman.
Yes.
A woman. Yeah, women doing it to women again. Carry on, sorry.
And she lives most of her time in the UK now. And she was asked, what is a woman, by somebody in the audience once. And she waffled for about 4 minutes, claiming it was a gotcha question.
Oh, yeah, right. Like our former Prime Minister who couldn't answer it. Okay, well, obviously, I've seen a picture of Mr. Tickle. And there's no way he's a woman.
Oh, well, we have to in Australia. It's the law.
Well, sod the law. What about reality? Now, I know what you're saying, but this is how crazy it is. Did the judge, was he sticking strictly to the law or is he an activist judge?
Well, he has stuck to the law. And that means for a lot of people that the law needs to be changed. But Robert Bromwich, throughout the federal court hearing, refer to Roxanne Tickle as a woman, a Ms. Yep. Roxanne Tickle, is entitled to $10,000 in damages, though he threw out the claim for aggravated damages of $200,000 because of Sal Grover's trolls that she unleashed on poor Miss Tickle. Well, it wasn't a defamation case. I'm not sure how you can bring it into a a human rights case before the federal court. And also Sal Grover has to pay Miss Tickle's legal expenses worth.
Yeah, do we know what the ballpark, how much is that, Tim? The
ballpark? It's limited to $50,000.
50 though, gee. Okay.
Yeah, but Justice Bromwich didn't order Sal Grover to give an apology to Roxanne Tickle because he realised it would be insincere given Sal Grover's old beliefs.
Understanding of reality. Yeah, right. Yeah, like the rest of us. Yeah. Poor thing. I really think we have to call this for what it is. These people are mentally ill. Let's call it for what it is. There's some problem upstairs and there's a fetish thing going on there. And this is the greatest attack on women that there's ever been. And it's probably coming to here now. But I can't believe Australia has become what it has, Tim, with all respect to you. I mean, how do you feel about this? It's a bad look, man.
Well, you may think what you said, but I couldn't possibly comment. Now, Sal Grover, she wants to take this to the High Court, though that's going to incur more legal expenses.
She said over $1 million.
And a Roxanne Tickle had the Grattan Fund bankrolling her case. So
you can't say her.
Oh, well, I have to say for the...
No. You stick with reality, Tim. Let's stay in reality.
I'm just going along with... You understand the point that I'm making, but...
No, I do, but... Okay, all right.
Yeah, so the Grattan Fund, it says on its website it builds for a fairer world by harnessing the power of high-impact strategic litigation to create structural change.
In other words, they're emotional blackmailers. Okay. Yeah. And so, what happens with the money that was raised if the costs are going to be paid by Sal Grover? They've got to give the money back, do they?
In terms of at the High Court?
Yeah, well, as I understood it, there's been funding coming in, crowdfunding, for, I could be wrong, but for Mr. Tickle, and if he's going to have, he is going to have the costs paid, what happens to that money, I wonder? Yeah.
Well,
I'm not expecting you to know the answer.
I guess it just goes in the Grattan Fund kitty for them to...
More crossings, more rainbow crossings.
High impact strategic litigation.
Whatever. Okay, well, we will be talking to Sal Grover sometime soon about this, so we'll get that firsthand. Now, I think last report you mentioned the Women Up Queensland event. That's taken place now. And I think you were expecting, or it could have been expected to be, the trans Tifa types turning up, et cetera. What happened there?
Well, fortunately, it's not a big of a violent, intimidatory trans Tifa mob up in Brisbane. So
okay,
we fortunately didn't see the scenes that we did in Melbourne last weekend. So the women largely protected by Queensland police, which is refreshing, I will say. And, so Ben Shand, the Dusty Bogan Christian Lobby, he covered it for censored.tv and showed us a few highlights of the freaks who turned up in an attempt to shut down those women who wanted to speak.
Yep, okay. Freaks, yep, that's fair enough. All right, so a little more relaxed in Brisbane compared to Melbourne.
Yes.
What is it with you Victorians, eh?
We've got the reputation as the protest capital of Australia for good reason. Well, certainly the violent protest capital of Australia, though there have been obviously incidents in other states, but yes, they're still trying to go every week in the Melbourne CBD, the pro-Palestine activists.
Right. Okay. And how are they being received on a regular basis then? I suppose people get used to it after a while, do they?
Well, outside Parliament House, where a lot of the protests are, it's near the Princess Theatre. And so there's a lot of theatregoers who get caught up in what's all this going on. So maybe one day it will have to be, or it would be sad if they had to move the Princess Theatre because it's not safe for people to come in and out because there's constant protests there. But you just want to go to the theatre. Though I will make the point, I remember when the Freedom People were protesting every week, there was the anti-cooker people saying, we've got to do something about these Freedom People cookers protesting every week because I disrupt businesses. But they've been silent about the pro-Palestinian activists in the Melbourne CBD every week. I should also mention, speaking of freedom activists, Monica Schmidt, her case against Victoria Police for wrongful arrest back in 2020. Judgment day in the County Court of Victoria will be Friday, September 6th. So not this Friday, the following Friday.
Okay. All right. Candace Owens is on the way to this part of the world that has some people excited. I think she's a pretty special woman, actually. Certainly has no problem speaking her mind, even if it's like next level controversial. So she's on the way to Australia and New Zealand, is that correct?
Yes, I saw the first ad on Facebook a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And so I heard she was on your rival station last week.
Yep.
And she was on Australian radio Monday morning with Ben Fordham on 2GB. The Immigration and Home Affairs Minister, Tony Burke, he has indicated he is going to block her expected visa application. She has not yet. So he told the Sydney Morning Herald that tickets to these events are selling for $100. I hope she has a good refunds policy. So it seems controversial comments are about the Frankist Jewish sect, which I don't know anything about them, so I can't judge whether what she said is accurate or not. The Liberal opposition, a shadow immigration spokesman Dan Tehan, says based on her views on Jewish people, she should be blocked. Also, Julian Lisa, a Jewish Liberal MP, has said the same. Jeremy Liebler of the Zionist Federation of Australia has written to the minister saying that a visa should not be granted to her. He's the son of Mark Liebler, Dan Andrews' favourite lawyer, who was one of the architects of the Voice referendum.
So these people are all for censoring free speech, and they might not like what she thinks. Do they think that she's going to spread some kind of, I don't know.
She's going to threaten social cohesion. That's the new buzzword. I just mentioned the pro-Palestine activists every week, and so the ASIO boss, Mike Burgess, Director General, talked about at his press conference with Anthony Albanese lowering the temperature. So that's code for less free speech. The Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus, he's still working on tougher hate speech laws and also anti-doxing laws as well. I wonder how that will work.
Gosh, you're in trouble over there.
Yes, promoter behind this Candace Owens tour Damien Costas, I believe it is. It's fronted by Joel Jamal, is the face of the tour. It's his ARC podcast, which is one of the sponsors, was behind the failed tour of Australia by Donald Trump Jr., which was delayed twice. One's because of a visa delays. The visa was granted, but it was claimed that it was too late, so the tour had be delayed. And Claire O'Neill, the Home Affairs Minister at the time, called Donald Trump Jr. a big baby, complaining that he was delaying because his tickets weren't much of a sale. Though people had trouble getting refunds from the cancelled tour of Donald Trump Jr. So that's just a bit of background.
Because they're very sneery, these people, aren't they? Very sneery in the way they put things.
The Albanese government, they did let in Kelly J. Keane and Tucker Carlson. When the Liberals were in government, they denied Marty Yiannopoulos and Gavin McGuinness a visa.
Right.
And so that was... also organised by Damien Costas back in 2019, though people couldn't get refunds for that because he was declared bankrupt at the time.
Okay.
But
if our
government didn't cancel people's visas because they didn't like their speech, then we wouldn't be in this situation where refunds had to be issued.
Yeah, well, that's it. But they use that as a way of throwing a credibility hit on the organisers when really it's we know how that happens. Okay, well, good luck to Candace Owens then. The Senate votes for what? What is the Senate vote for?
Ralph Barbette, so he was elected as a United Australia Party senator, but is no longer registered at the federal level. He put forward a motion that babies who survive abortions should be provided with a midwife, maternal care, because we have abortion up until birth laws pretty much nationwide in Australia. So
that's a shocker, by the way.
So the statistic is that every 7 days, a baby who survives an abortion is left to die. This motion failed, 18 votes to 32. And obviously the Greens voted against it. So did most of the Labor senators. There is one pro-life Labor senator, Helen Polly, who didn't make it to the vote, which is, I don't know if she was told to not turn up, which if she stands by a principle, she should have said, bugger it, I'm going to the chamber. There were four Liberal senators who voted against the motion. So that was the Liberal Senate leader, Simon Birmingham, their shadow finance spokeswoman, Jane Hume, Andrew Bragg, and Maria Kovacevic, who released a video response into why she voted against this. And she said that this... Ralph Babette's motion, it goes into women's personal business. And this, it appears to me that the reason why this was voted down, even though you'd think, regardless of your opinion on abortion, that babies who are born alive should be cared for, just not left to die. But these people see it as, well, if we concede this, we're enabling the pro-life movement. And I don't know if they're also thinking, well, if the mother's decided the baby should die, then it should be left to die. That's the only logic I can see it. But the far anti-life left, this is how they operate, that we're not going to concede anything, even the most barbaric practice of...
I'd be charging them with murder, is what I'd be doing.
Of leaving newborn babies.
Yeah, absolutely, it's murder. Because, end of story.
Because their argument is that, oh, well, the people who are pushing this motion, they're pro-lifers.
So what? Don't care. It's murder.
And one of the voices who has been, well, just pushing for this awareness of this stain on Australia is Dr. Joanna Howe, who's a professor of law at Adelaide University. She's a mother of five, a Rhodes Scholar. So she's been active on social media, visiting MPs. She has done a lot of research on this as well. She's had a five-year battle against her university, who they tried to send her to re-education course.
Oh, back not one of those struggles.
2019, yeah. Even though she had been cleared of misconduct in six separate investigations. So there's been lots of various vexatious complaints against her.
I just want to get one thing straight, Tim, because what I said before is strong, but I want to know that I'm in the zone. So you go, a baby can go full term, let's say, that's 9 months, and if it's legal to abort up to that period of time. Have I got that right?
Yes, until birth.
Okay, until birth. So like a few days before, if the abortion fails and the baby, you shouldn't be doing an abortion then anyway, that's horrific. But if the abortion fails and the baby's alive, legally you can let it die. Yes. Have I got that right?
Yes, and it's all modeled on Victoria's abortion law reform 2000.
That's the devil right there. Got to move on. Can't take any more of that. Goldmine project not going ahead. Why? Is there some big epic situation here, or is it on the head of a pin? Tell us.
Yes. So the Federal Environment Minister, Tanya Plibersek, she blocked a Regis Resources tailings dam for its McPhilmers gold mine project in the central west of New South Wales under Section 10 of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Heritage Protection Act, because the headwaters of the dam of the Baluba River are of traditional significance to the Wadjuri people. Even though the Orange Local Aboriginal Land Council's assertion was the site did not hold significant sacred value. But Tanya Plibersek, she decided that Wadjuri Traditional Owners Central West Corporation, which has 18 members, which it only lists the first names of the people there. The only public figure is Naree Reynolds, who's an artist who says she's a very light-skinned descendant of an Aboriginal woman born in the 1820s and now sharing her voice that was silenced many skies ago. And
okay,
just looks
so this
like
is
your, like,
the ancestors talking.
White boomer, no offense.
Yeah, no, okay.
But this has been going on for years Aboriginal cultural, spiritual value has been the purported reason to block development by the anti-development, the greenies, the environmentalists, because you wouldn't want to damage Aboriginal culture. And I brought your audience the story recently of a walking path that has been closed because of a local Aboriginal tribe that says only our men are allowed to climb it, even though there's another tribe.
That's right. I remember that. Yep.
So it seems that they always go for the view of the tribe or corporation, which is basically going to shut down development or shut out access.
Well, for the sake of wielding the power. I mean, I buy the idea that there are cultural sites of significance and sacred sites even, but when you've got the bigger group saying it has no relevance, I mean, who do you listen to? You listen to what, one person? What is it? Maybe if Mr. Tickle has a problem, it stops the whole thing. I don't know.
Well, it gives you an idea of what Tanya Plibersek's priorities are when it comes to, because Australia should be much wealthier than it is. We've got so much natural resources. Also, maybe because it's a gold mine. They want everyone to be on central bank digital currencies.
Don't want gold. I mean,
gold in circulation.
No. All right. Tale of Two Cities. Through trains, okay. Which cities are we talking about?
So Sydney's Metro opened this past week to great fanfare. So it is a rapid transit, a rail tunnel that goes under the harbour from Chatswood in North Sydney, all the way underground through the CBD to Sydenham. The trains are driverless. It can go to 100 kilometre speed. It has cut down travel times to the Sydney CBD significantly. It did cost $21 billion, so
whoa,
it was cheap.
Okay.
But in terms of, well, just the they turn up every 3 to 4 minutes, the trains, so it's a turn up and go service. The underground stations, they look like grand underground cathedrals. They really are an architectural masterpiece.
Yeah, doubling as bomb shelters when necessary, no doubt.
but Melbourne's metro tunnel will open at the end of next year if we're lucky. Well, that is also over budget. It's 5 underground stations. It's blown out to 14 billion, but the trains can only go 80 kilometers per hour, and we'll have a driver. There has been the Victoria's big build, the price has been inflated by the CFMEU, which is now, its construction division is now in administration. 270 of their officials have been dismissed. There's going to be a protest in Melbourne tomorrow against this administration move. So it seems that a lot of the CFMEU remaining muscle are not going to take it lying down. But this is why our metro tunnel is not going to open for another year at least. And also there's this issue that was identified 10 years ago of electromagnetic interference underneath the Parkville station in the medical precinct at the Royal Melbourne Hospital, the Peter McCullum Cancer Centre, and also a microscope in the basement of the Doherty Institute, which studies infectious diseases such as Ebola and norovirus. We heard a lot about them during COVID. They did the modelling about...
be okay if they knocked that out. I'd have no problem with that. Good riddance.
So it means that the trains are going to have to slow, which will add to the travel time, which undermined the rapid transit, the idea of the tunnel. Maximum speed is only 80 kilometres. So
okay,
it means that they can do, and they're already building a West Metro there, connects to the CBD, though Jacinta Allen, of course, is going with the Suburban Rail Loop, $35 billion at least for the eastern part, which is just about creating a network of 15-minute cities. I've described before, suburban skyscrapers around these stations. Why can New South Wales, Sydney do things so much better than Victoria?
Yeah, good question. You'd know the answer to that more than me, being from there. We're up against time. The Commonwealth Games was a fail, but the Gay Games are going ahead, it seems, in Victoria. Is that right?
Melbourne's making a bid for the 2030 Gay Games, which it's not as... amateur, but a inclusion event, so it's not like the Commonwealth Games. But the state government is still going to write them a check, and if we couldn't afford the Commonwealth Games because of cost, the state's broke mentioned the problems with our metro tunnel. It's a sporting event which is, well, it's not real. It's just about,
niche. It's yes. niche.
Yeah, but they're still going to write a check Victoria's bid, Melbourne's bid is because we're such a progressive city. Remember, our government says this is a good thing.
Yeah, right. Okay. And I think attached to that also some controversy around the census. What's that?
Oh, the 2026 census. So LGBTQIA plus groups are devastated because there's not going to be a question about sexual orientation and gender identity on the census. So they're still going to count same-sex couples because it asks about marital status, that sort of thing. It's not going to basically be a ultra detailed questionnaire. I mean, they're not going to even ask about ethnicity anymore on the census. So they claim that this is needed for health and planning purposes.
Really? How? To determine the number of mental health beds or something like that?
Or how many, I don't know, monkeypox vaccines they need.
Oh, dear. They're always wanting stuff.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
Yeah. I mean, most of us get by... Well, you know what I'm going to say. Okay, fair enough. That's our report from Australia, the Wilms Report for this Tuesday. Really worried about your country, Tim, I've got to say. But I know it's coming here too, so I'm not going to be too hard on it. We're going to get all this. I know we are.
Oh, well, you got a preview under Comrade Jacinta.
Yep. But I don't think it's ever... going to go away. Anyway, great to catch up again, Tim. Thank you for looking into all the stories for us, and we'll talk again in a week.
Will do.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.